As I was saying, but you couldn't hear me say it, but if you read lips, I was saying, I hope you are enjoying this as much as I'm enjoying teaching it. The plot thickens, Ruth 3. A plot twist. All good literature, right? There's something before the hero or heroine can move on to victory and live happily ever after, there's always something that has to be overcome. Otherwise, why are you reading it, you know? Miss Wright met Mr. Wright. They got married and they lived happily ever after. Yawn. Right? This isn't literature. I mean, it is literature, but it's not. It's actual what happened. But I have found that in reality, there's usually something where a guy has to overcome to obtain the hand of his intended. God set it up that way. It's always supposed to be. It looks really good. Everything looks promising. Uh-oh, there's a problem. And then it gets sorted out and, you know, off they go. And that's what happens here. But it happens in real life. And it's still a picture of Christ and his bride. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your holy word, I mean, we're having fun. We're reading about Ruth and we're reading about Boaz, and he reminds us so much of our kinsman redeemer. And but still, there's things here to be learned, and Father, we want to be diligent, and we want to honor you by revering your word. It really is our necessary food. And Father, we pray. I mean, listen, look at it. It's Wednesday night, and here we are. A lot of things we could be doing, but we decided to be here at this place at this time to learn your word. So we pray you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. So you remember what happened so far. There's famine. Elimelech, his wife Naomi, his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, off to Moab they go. Greener pastures. The kids marry Moabite women. Elimelech dies, both Mahlon and Chilion die, leaving Ruth and Orpah as widows. And Naomi, of course, is a widow. So we have the three widows headed back to Bethlehem because they hear that, okay, there's food now in Bethlehem. And off they go. And Naomi prevails upon her daughters-in-law. You know, you can't do this. It's not going to work out like you think it's going to work out. Go back, and Orpah does. They both love, I don't doubt either one of them, but they both love their mother-in-law. That is a miracle in itself in some circles. But Orpah goes back, and Ruth takes an oath, and we're thrilled with what she says. It's in the Bible. It's one of our favorite passage, one of our favorite verses. Everyone loves that verse. And she goes with. And so she goes, when they finally get to, you know, Bethlehem, is this Naomi? Oh my goodness. Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. The Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. And why are you calling me Naomi? And next day, or very soon on in the process, Ruth says, hey, I'm going to go follow the reapers like we had discussed before, and, maybe it'll work out good. And so off she goes, and by happenstance, right, I'm using my ditto fingers, she ends up in Boaz's field, who, when she comes back, and she's got all this blessing with her, and Boaz takes special notice of her, you remember. Hey, I know who you are. I know what's happened here. God bless you, he says. The Lord whose wings you've come to trust under, may he bless you. And he takes special notice of her. He is a kinsman redeemer, and he's making sure that Naomi and Ruth are looked after like a good kinsman redeemer would. I think by now we've figured he's taken a fancy to Ruth somewhat. But I think he thinks that she's inattainable because we'll find out there's a generation issue here, older and younger, maybe a whole generation, maybe 10 years, who knows, but I have an idea. It's he's more Naomi's age than he is Ruth's age. And then perhaps she's still dressed in her widow garments, which means, like, hands off, I'm mourning. I don't know that, but perhaps. Either that or he's just thinking, listen, I'm the boss. She's kind of, it would be unseemly for me to, you know, press the issue. We don't want to cloud the water. You're here because God bless you, not because you'll go out with me or nothing like that. So maybe he's an honorable guy. There's a lot of, we don't really know what's going on here, right? Or maybe he just doesn't know how to make the move. I don't know, you know what I mean? Naomi said to Ruth in verse 22 of chapter 2, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with a mother-in-law. Okay, barley harvest to wheat harvest. How long? Right, 6 to 8 weeks. Because barley, I mean, harvest is when harvest is. It's not on the calendar, you know what I mean? What time did your tomatoes come in last year? When they came in, right? The little cherry ones earlier, you know, the beefsteak, they take a little while longer. It's not according to the calendar. It's according to when you're able to plant and how warm it is and how much you've amended the soil. A lot of factors play into it. The barley harvest is about Passover. The wheat harvest is celebrated by Pentecost, which is 7 weeks after. Right? The counting of the Omer, the countdown starting on the day of first fruits, and then 50 days, boom, Pentecost. About 6 to 8 weeks. You said seven weeks plus or minus is probably the best way to say that. So she's been working there for 7 months. 7 weeks, I mean. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt that Ruth loves Naomi. And I don't think there's any doubt that Naomi loves Ruth. They've been a blessing to each other. And she says, I want to bless you. I want you to get into a rest situation. What does that look like? And now is not Boaz of our kindred? So she's suggesting all women are matchmakers at heart. I think women find it abhorrent that there's a single guy out there not married, that we can't have that. But I think it's beyond that. I think it's beyond that, okay? I never thought it was a good idea in my own life to match up anyone with anybody else. I mean, I know pastors who go out of the way to do that. Not this one. No, I mean, seriously. When the day you hate each other and you're not speaking to each other and you want to kill each other, I mean, what happens if I get two and then they kill each other? Literally. I'd feel pretty bad. Oh, yeah, I'm the one who put them together. Hopefully they'll live happily ever after, but we don't know that. And my thinking is people have been finding people since, like Adam and Eve, why do I have to nudge that along? They've been doing it for a long time without me, and they do it all over the world without me. And when I'm gone, people will be finding other people without me, so why do I have to feel like I have to do any of that at all? It's kind of the way I've always felt. Naomi doesn't feel that way, and so she's making this match. What about Boaz? Have you thought about him? He's of our kindred. They must have discussed this. I mean, that's they've discussed, like, you know, the law of gleaning and things. He's our kindred. He's our kindred, okay? With whose maidens thou wast. Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight at the threshing floor. Okay, there's a threshing floor. All right? It's on a saddleback, generally. You know how in the afternoons, generally, when, you know, the temperature starts to change, very often is a prevailing wind. They build the house. You know, when we're in Israel, they still are up on the roof. They still do that. It's their patio is up above them, usually. It's cooler up there, especially when, you know, day starts to end. And there's probably, you have to sign up, you know what I mean? Okay, I got this, and so, you know, there's a community calendar kind of thing. Naomi knows about it. She knows that it's Boaz's turn. He is winnowing barley tonight in the threshing floor. Okay, it's his turn is the idea. Wash thyself, therefore, always good word, okay, and anoint thee, another good word. Put your perfume on, and put thy raiment upon thee. Wash thyself, therefore, anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee. Your best is what she's saying. Well, maybe she's just saying, get rid of the widow garb. I don't know that. I don't think anyone knows that. So you read commentary, and there's the hypothesis, but it's not like, the language isn't saying, hey, get rid of your widow stuff. Could she still be dressing like a widow? We don't know. But I think she's saying, put on your finery. You want to wow them. You want to definitely, you know. And get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man. So you're going to hang out in the back. Don't be conspicuous. Don't. Okay, he's got business to take care of. Don't make yourself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. This is not drinking, the idea of excessive and drunkenness or anything like that. It's eating and drinking as you would think of it. Let him have a couple iced teas. Let him get some chicken wings in him. You know, you don't want to come between a man and his nachos or anything like that. So make sure he's all had his, and check out where he lies down, because if you don't, it could be very, very embarrassing, okay? It shall be when he lieth down, you shall mark the place where he shall lie. Why? It's dark. It's darker than a pocket. I mean, if it's a overcast night, it'll be darker yet. She ain't going to pull her flashlight out of her pocket, right? Or a book of matches even, right? So make sure you know. You can count out the paces. You'll figure it out, darling, is what mother-in-law is saying. When he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Now that sounds, in our vernacular, like some shady circumstances is going on there. And I assure you, okay, Naomi's not throwing her to the wolves. She loves her daughter-in-law. She knows that Boaz is an honorable man. This is. There's nothing shady or untoward going on here. Okay, I can assure you of that. Whatever he says, do. He'll instruct you. Okay, is the idea. And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." Wow. well, Mom, what about? Have you thought about? Hey, I'll do it. I'll do what you say. That's a miracle in and of itself. You know, she trusts her mother-in-law and does whatever she tells her to do. She went down to the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. There's one thing saying, and there's another thing doing. Remember Jesus made, he said that. He says, which guy is obedient? The guy, he says, hey, I want you to go do this. And yeah, I'll do it immediately, but he doesn't do it. He says to the next guy, I want you to do this. He goes, no, I'm not going to do it. But then he feels bad and he goes and he does it. She's saying, lip service. I get that all the time. I mean, there's people draw near me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So there's a saying and there's a doing, and you want to have both of those correct. That's very important to us. So, all that thou sayest, I will do. She went down under the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Okay, so she's got both of those things in a row, and that's a good thing. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, because he's half lit, right? No, I mean he felt very cheerful. That's all. You know how you do. You had a delicious meal, right? Sue's bought coffee pot sandwiches for us. So I'm doing a commercial for coffee pot now. And if you haven't eaten there, you have never had a sandwich, as far as I'm concerned. Delicious. Was my heart merry? Oh, yeah. Yeah, halfway through the coffee pot. I'm very merry. I just like, oh, this is the best. And that's all it means. Okay, it doesn't mean he's half pickled or anything like that. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, the grain is the idea, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. Boy, a lot of feet going on here. What's that all about? Well, we'll talk about it. It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He rolled over, right? Turned himself, and a woman lay at his feet. How did he know that at the bottom of his feet, by the way? I don't know. He said, "Who art thou?" And apparently the voice must have gave it away, right? That it was a woman. Because you're sleeping in a strange place, and you're not sleeping like you're sleeping on your mattress at home, right? So he's got his robe on him or some sort of covering, right? His feet are out, so immediately he's getting colder. I would. I don't care if it's 173 degrees. I got to have at least a sheet covering me, and my feet have to be. They can't be out. Okay, that's. I know people exact opposite. Not me. So he's afraid. And a woman's at his feet. He says, "Who are you?" And I think there's probably a little, "Who are you?" You know, kind of a little shrill, like, who knows, right? Try to put some bass in. "Who are you?" You know, scare that person away. She answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid." I don't think he's very afraid anymore. I don't think she's a scary person, right? "Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." Now, I think a lot of people misunderstand this. I've heard people talk about it like this is some sort of proposition. Oh, no, much worse than that. As far as I can understand, she's not proposing, but she's proposing that he propose. And don't think of proposal like here in the West, you know. There's a jeweler involved because diamonds are a girl's best friend. Who said that? I don't know, the people at Zales, I think, or the people at Kay's or something. I don't know. But so this, and you got to buy a rock that's way past one paycheck. I mean, it's got to be thousands of dollars, and it's got to really wow her. So even if she doesn't really want to get married, she's going to have a hard time saying no to a rock that big, right? You got to have one knee involved. There's got to be some videographer there. Don't think of it like that, because usually, you got to remember, at this culture, there's a matchmaker. There's parents involved. There's a covenant. There's a ketubah. Livestock is exchange hands. There's a dowry. And it's got little to do with a man asking a woman. Sometimes, couples don't even meet until their wedding night, until the day of their wedding. So, but this is different. They know each other. There's no matchmaker, Naomi. And so she's saying to him, you're my kinsman. You're my near kinsman. I want you to do the part of a kinsman. Spread your skirt over your handmaid. Verse 12 of chapter 2, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." She's saying the same thing. Here it's wings. Over here it's spread for thy skirt. It's the same. It's the exact same word, exact same phrase. I don't know why it's two different translates, you know, because it comes when people translate what they think that was being said, a lot of times comes through. But it's the same exact thing. She's saying, I want you to do the part of the kinsman redeemer. You're a near kinsman. So go ahead and do your kinsman thing. Like I say, she's proposing that he propose, is the idea. I'm willing. Are you willing? Do you remember when this... We should probably check it out at some point. Do you remember I think it's in the book of Numbers, when, okay, you got brothers living together, and one takes a wife, and then he dies, but there's no children. Do you remember what takes place? Well, tell us. The next brother has to go in and perform the duties. The word is Levirate, and people think Levi and priesthood. No. Levir is like brother-in-law is the idea. Do the part of the brother-in-law. The next one up takes a wife and raises up seed. The conventional way, there's no artificial anything. And that is to perpetuate your brother's name. So that child that you have by his widow inherits the land. Okay? Strange to us. Is there any cause for this, like in church, should we adopt this or anything like that? No, we don't have land grants or land inheritance. Or it's not like that. My brother didn't have any kids because he didn't want to have any kids. You know what I mean? There wasn't even a... And go ahead and adopt one if you really feel strong about it. I mean, it's not like that. So this is a specific thing for a specific time because of land inheritance issues, okay? And she's saying, yeah, we've got land out there. We had to let it go. We were starving. They moved to Moab. You know the story. Mahlon married me. He died. Here we are. I want you to, two things. You're going to restore the land to Naomi, and you're going to raise up seed for Elimelech, which is a big hint. Naomi's the one in line, not Ruth. Naomi's saying, pass Ruth, because one, she wants to bless Ruth. Ruth is of childbearing age. Why doesn't she have any children? I don't know. Mahlon, he's all sickly. Maybe there was a issue there, right? And so Naomi's saying pass, probably because she is beyond having children. But the other part about it is she wants to bless Ruth. And Ruth's saying, yeah, I'm willing. You know, it's funny to me, this is what salvation looks like. You know, we can talk about when God started dealing with us, which was when? Before the foundation of the world. Go and figure that one out. There wasn't even sin, but he knew that there was going to need to be, there was going to be sin, and there was going to be a need of a redeemer, and he knew exactly how that was going to play out, and he had you on his mind before he said, light be. Go and figure that one out. But listen, it's Ruth's play. If she's not willing, because I got to tell you something. God is willing. He's not willing that any should perish. Do you know that? Okay? Now, to that, what happens, we're back in Numbers there. So the next one up, next brother steps up, and he does the part of the kinsman redeemer. What if he doesn't want to? For whatever reason. I told my brother not to marry that. She makes my skin crawl. Frankly, I can't stand her. Perpetuates. I can't even shake hands with her. No. That's cruel, right? But let's say he's not interested in any way, shape, or form, not going to do it. What happens? What happens to the guy who said no? He what? And he sticks to it. And he says, not doing it. I'm not doing it. He has to take his sandal off and give it to the widow. And she, what? Spits in his face. Our kinsman Rima has never had his face spit in, and he's probably wearing both sandals. Just saying. Just saying. Because if you say, redeem me, he's like, not going to do it. Said Jesus, never to no one ever. I think about it, right? And then they call him the one who always only has one sandal. And it was a derisive term. It was kind of, you just figuring this out? Have you never thought of this before? But we know that he's not willing that any should perish. We know that he doesn't say no when you ask for salvation. You can pray to the Lord and he will tell you no about a lot of things. Why? Because it's not good for you, or so timing is wrong. Or you can't ask him, you can't come up with some cockamamie idea of bless my sin and he's bound to do it. When does he tell us no? When no would be the right answer. Does he ever tell anyone no for salvation? Anyone who comes to me, I would in no wise cast out, is what he's saying. This is very important to know. And Boaz, true type, I love Boaz, okay? I love this whole story. I love everything about it. He said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. My daughter, doesn't that sound very Christ-like? For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. I know who you are. I've seen you work. I saw how it was with you. And now you're beyond what I could expect. He's thrilled. Like, I think Jesus is thrilled when you ask him to save you. Can I prove that? I don't have a verse. I think I know a little bit about the Lord. Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, if thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich or poor. Hey, you know, you're a looker. You could have your choice. A lot of guys putting the eye on you, but you selected me. And he's flattered and he's happy. That you followest not young men. This is where we think he's older. Okay? Is he 20? I don't think so. Has he had a family raised up? He's got adult kids. He's got no wife anymore because been there, done that. I don't know. We don't know. There's so much we don't know. And it's only guesswork. We can speculate, but why speculate? And now my daughter, again, that tender language there, right? Fear not. That sounds very Christ-like too, doesn't it? I will do to thee all that thou requirest. The answer is yes, provisionally. Wait, what? For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. The people of the city means the people of the gate. I'm not going to have trouble clearing this with the elders, the town councilmen. Everyone knows who you are and what you're all about. She's a Moabite. He's Jewish. That's a problem. Not for Boaz. Why not? What? His mother, Rahab. His mother was Rahab. And I don't think our boy Boaz has any problems with graciousness. We talked about this at length last week. Moabite, psh. Yeah, my mother was an Ammonite. Who cares? My mother loved the Lord, boy. I want to tell you right now. And Looks like you do too. I mean, I'm putting words in his mouth, I know, but I think we can say this, right? He's happy and he's flattered, and she is virtuous. I want to tell you, she's not there saying, hey, big boy, you know, get the eyeliner out and the all cosmetic'd up and all. Nothing. There's nothing untoward here, okay? Just, again, someone comes to your bed at night and we think because we're Western and it definitely means something. It probably does. Not here, not now. Now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Yep, you got that right. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Did you find out who he was? Because in chapter 4, we're not going to find his name. You haven't found out who he was. Oh, good, we'll leave for another week. Any guesses? Okay, that's your homework. Huh? I know, by the way, he's a loser. I'm going to tell you his name. Loser boy. Why? Why? Because he's the near kinsman. He's nearer than Boaz. He was supposed to look out for these people. Who's looking out for him? Boaz. His Johnny Nobody. Idiot boy. Doesn't care about anyone guy. You think I'm reading something in this? I might be. But he's the near kinsman redeemer. They come back and where is he? We don't even know him. We haven't met him yet. And Boaz has taken center stage. He's supposed to take care of widows and orphans and the poor. He's the next in line. He was supposed to step up. I think Boaz would have said, Ruth, look, I know I'm an old guy and blah, 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 but, you know, if you're willing and, you know, and I think he would have done that, but it would have been out of place. He's not the near kinsman redeemer, which raises an interesting question. While you're doing your homework, think, who is closer to us than Jesus Christ? Because that's what we're looking at, right? The kinsman redeemer. Boaz is playing the part of Jesus Christ. I gave you a large clue now, but you work on that, okay? And by the way, I didn't come up with this original. I can't make it sound like it's my idea. But this is my way of interpretation. This is the way I look at Scripture generally anyway. Everything's symbolic of everything else. I mean, when I say that, you people understand. This happened exactly as it's being recorded here. When we say a story, you know, people think, you know, once upon a time, in a land far away. It's not that kind of a story. It's a tale, but it's not fictional at all. It actually happened. Okay. I am your near kinsman. You're right about that. Naomi told you right, but there's one kinsman nearer than I. We'll look at that next week. Tarry this night, and shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. I think he's saying this with a heavy heart. I think his little heart is involved. He's not just matter of fact. Like, all right, I'll marry you. I'll raise up seed to my dead relative here. But there's a guy closer. And if he wants to do it, okay. Well, we'll let him do it then. But if not, I guess it's me. I mean, he's not ambivalent. His heart's involved. His heart is toward this woman. I think his heart's even toward Naomi in the sense of like, yeah, I want to help out. But I think he's in love with Ruth. He's happy when she asks him to do the part of the kinsman redeemer. But he can't. His hands are tied. There are real rules in place. And if he wants to do the part of the kinsman redeemer, well, let him do the kinsman part. What is Ruth thinking about all this? Wait a second. Okay, Boaz. I know you're not the youngest guy. Think about Boaz. What is he? Is he like a, I don't know, who's like hunky out there now? Is it Sean Penn or I don't know. No, that's not Tom Cruise. I don't even know. I don't know who's, oh, you know who's like young and hunky out there. Who's, or older, more mature. Is it Kevin Costner or something like that? Is he like, and this other guy, is he like all Steve Buscemi or kind of, you know, I don't know. You know, why are you making that face? How does Ruth feel about this? Yeah, whatever. That's all. We don't care. I don't care if he looks like Frankenstein, frankly. As long as I get married, I'm okay. How does she feel about this, right? No, I want you to do the part of the kinsman redeemer. He might have first dibs, but I got veto power here, okay? I just want you to understand this. I don't know. No, we don't know any of that. If not, I'll do the part of the kinsman to thee. Then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, he takes an oath, as the Lord liveth, lie thee down until the morning, because it's dark. You're not going home at midnight or 1 in the morning, whatever it is, right? And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another, and he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Why? He's worried about her reputation. Isn't that a wholesome, wonderful thing? Nobody's worried anymore about anybody's reputation. Everybody is living with everybody else, and nobody blushes about that. And if you say, that's not quite right biblically, then you have to blush. Oh, it's a time when, listen, it's still not right. I don't care if everyone says it's right. It's still not right. And he's worried about her reputation. What actually happened here that we would worry? Well, listen, if somebody's a gossip, they don't need facts to grease the grease the skids of their gossip to gain traction. They don't worry about things like facts. So he's thinking like, as far as anyone's concerned, Ruth's at home, I'm at here. No basis for gossip. There's no basis for gossip anyway. But people can, you know how they can do, add 1 and 1 and come up with 27 every time and make a mountain out of a molehill. And, oh, yeah, well, I know he's had his eye on her for a long time and blah, 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 blah. You know how people are. He's worried about her reputation. He's a gentleman. He's a godly man. And he cares about reputations. So it's early in the morning. He said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when he held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. What's a measure? Anybody? We don't know. It's a measure. 6 handfuls, 6 sheaves, 6. We don't know. The number 6 is important. The quantity is not. What's he saying? He's sending, one, he's blessing Naomi and saying thank you to her. And he's giving her a code. By the way, she receives the code. She laid it on her and she went into the city. You have the, as a, and he went into the city. Does anyone have that? Yeah, it could be he or she. In 1611, when the King James was first put out, it said he. Yeah, you have a gloss saying that it's... Yeah. And then they had to make a revision, because they sold out all their Bibles and they had to make, even the first year, still in 1611, they had to make another. And then by that time they had uncovered some more. And so they changed it to she. And there was the King James 1611 he version and the King James 1611 she version. Just so as you know. That's free. I'm not even charging for that. Listen, it doesn't matter. They both end up in the city, okay? Which one? I think she. It sounds to me like, you know, he gave it to her, she went into the city, Bethlehem. He's still got his business take care of. When she, because it's like, she held it, she went into the city, she came to her mother-in-law. So I think it's she. Let's just pick up the story. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" What? Well, one, it's your daughter. You should know my name. Who are you? That's what Boaz said, because it was at midnight when I saw him, I mean, or whatever, and it was dark. I mean, what do you mean? Who are you, my daughter? Who are you now is kind of the idea. And by the way, it's a common, it's like, hey, what's up? She's making inquiries, how'd it go? Okay? And I know, it says, who art thou, my daughter? This is a way of saying, you know, what's happening? Are you Mrs. Boaz yet? Are you, you know, promised? Is there, what's going on here? She told her all the man had done to her. Okay? This is open, honest relationship between Ruth and Naomi. It's kind of beautiful, I think. You know, well, I want you to go do this and this and this and this. Everything you say, I'm going to do it. And then he comes back and she's all coy. Well, I'd tell you, but I have to kill you. Nothing like that. And she tells all what happened. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. It's for her. Boaz wanted to bless Naomi. Who's Naomi in our story? Ruth is the Gentile bride. Who's Naomi? Israel. Boaz wants to bless Israel. Is that a surprise? Israel doesn't always get it. Like, let's say a hostile enemy shoots like 300 drones and missiles, just hypothetically, right, at Israel. And Israel knocks out Israel, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, England, and America knocked like 99% out of them. Whatever doesn't gets past these defenses get obliterated out of the sky, and like 2 missiles hit in Israel, and one of them hurts a little girl. I don't know whatever happened to her, if she died, or I don't know the end of the story. But basically, they want to do this huge damage, and they end up doing very, very, very minimal damage. And Israel says, wow, look at our defenses. We're ready for whatever they got. We're all... How about, praise God Almighty. Oh, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. They were trying to obliterate us. They're trying to hurt us. They're trying to ruin our infrastructure. They're trying to kill people. Oh, praise your holy name, Lord. Perhaps there were those in Israel who said that. Boaz always wants to bless Israel, but very often he doesn't get the credit. He's going to bring them, God is going to bring them to a place where they have no alternative but to look up and cry out for salvation when it's utterly, utterly hopeless. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. And he will show up, and he will save the day. He's always trying to bless them. But that's one of the problems. One of the problems, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm not grateful as I should be. I know this would never happen to you, but I'm not as grateful as I should be. Sometimes I think, you know, like, you know, it's my, I earn money, I do this, I do, because it's me. It's me. I went to school. I learned. I'm healthy. I can work. I, you think. I know, right? Sometimes I'm not as thankful as I could be or should be, perhaps. But our God wants to bless us. So Boaz wants to bless her, and he gives her a code, and she gets it. Then said she, he sent me a code, and I know what the code is. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest. Ah, she got the code of the six. Did you get it? 6 days. 6 days of work. It's not the Sabbath yet. He's not resting yet. He's not going to rest until he has finished the thing this day. She got the message. I think you got to think like a rabbi a little bit, and I think Naomi does. A measure, whatever it is, she could have get. Let's say a measure weighs a pound. Okay, so she carrying 6 pounds of barley home. It's six measures, though, right? He could have gave her one measure that weighed 7 pounds. That would have been more of a blessing by a pound, 10 pounds, 70 or 80 pounds. Now it's not much of a blessing because Ruth is every 12 or 13 steps you got to stop, put it down, give herself a rest. But it's six measures, okay? Six. And they go. And Naomi says, got it. He's not going to rest till he has this thing sorted out. And of course, that's exactly what he meant to say. And it's telling us that there's always something going on under the text. If you look for this and try to find it, I think it is a blessing. You have to go through sixes in Scripture, find out what it means. Well, the first time you come across it, sixth day of creation, seventh he rested. And I think that's what he's saying to her, and she got it. Now, chapter 4, we won't take it up because it's for next week, the plot twist and the denouement, how it all plays out and finishes up and everybody's happy. So come up with who's the closer kinsman than Boaz is. And I will give you... I don't know. I will say, yay, you're very smart. That's what I'll do. And, of course, you're very smart if you agree with me, because that's how this game works, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. It's a wonderful story. We're so enamored by all the characters here, Lord. Father, we love Boaz. I mean, we do. He reminds us of somebody we're very, very fond of. And it's good to see him in this light, caring and blessing and taking care of business and loving and redeeming, and it's good. So Father, bless us. Thank you for this great salvation. And keep us close to you, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit until we meet again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.